Now, this is, you could say, you could go on, and I could go on and on and on, but for the sake of time, I mustn't go too far along on this, on these different things there. But that you've got a fair, you begin to understand, surely, this is not just the work of man. There must be some outside source, some supernatural source. As how could this possibly be? But I'm afraid that didn't really convince me all that much. Even then, I wanted more. Now, the most powerful tool that we've got in the Scripture to show that this is the Word of God is prophecy. Now, you've got all this nonsense about Da Vinci Code and everything, and the world, they'll pick up little bits of prophecy and build all kinds of things on it. Now, the prophecy of the in the world is very... they'll pick just one little thing, and if a little bit comes true, they say it's right. But prophecy in the Bible is not like that. It's extremely detailed. There is tremendous detail in there, and it's exactly... And as you go through it, you'll find out how it's been exactly fulfilled to the letter. This is a very powerful tool we've got. We could go through the general prophecies, all the different prophecies that we've got in the Scriptures. By the way, do you know that a quarter of your Bible is pure prophecy? At least 25% is pure prophecy. That's how important God says it is to us. And Jesus, in the last days before the crucifixion, he spoke so much about prophecy. I'm coming back to that again in a minute, though. Now, general prophecy, I say there's an enormous amount about the cities and about different things, what would happen to them. And they've been proved over and over again. One of the most remarkable ones, if you want to have a look at it, is in Daniel chapter 11. You read through the prophecies there. Exact details, not vague prophecies, but exact details of what was going to happen. Now, it was written several hundred years before it happened. In fact, they're so detailed that even Bible-believing Christians have been taken a bit aback by them. And because the world said, these must have been written after the event. You couldn't possibly have prophecies like that. But they are. And it's been proved. And these are prophecies that can be attested for in secular history. And they were fulfilled to the letter. The prophecies in there are absolutely amazing, again and again. And I suggest you look through them. But the ones I want to deal particularly about are the prophecies about Jesus himself. Because it's no good remembering, knowing all this. If we don't know who Jesus is, we can't prove who our Lord really is. Remember with the Quran, remember Mohammed, he said he was a prophet of God. Well, what's the proof of it? How do you know he's the prophet of God? But with Jesus, it's a different matter. Right the way through Scripture, we have prophesied about him, exactly who he was, exactly the exact place that he would be born in. And that was prophesied 700 years before he came on this earth. It says that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephrata. It there were other Bethlehems, but it specified the exact spot 700 years before he came on this earth then. Now, it also specified who he was. In Isaiah chapter 9, we're all familiar with this. Unto us a son is born. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. And the government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, etc. I haven't got the quotation quite right. But it clearly showed you exactly who he was. Isaiah, again, was written 700 years before he came on this earth. See how these prophecies, exact and in detail, come through one after the other. We were told also exactly the time he would come. Now this again is an amazing prophecy. Daniel chapter 9. If you go through that, the famous 77s, you can work out, it showed the exact time that he would appear. Not as a baby, but to die for us on Calvary's cross. The time that he would come into Jerusalem. Now, the scriptures also tell us why he came in prophecy, very, very clearly. Now, prophesied hundreds of years, thousands of years before. Abraham, when he went to sacrifice his son, if you remember the story here. And Isaac said to him, "Father, we've got the wood here, but where's the offering for the burnt offering?" What did Abraham say? "God himself will provide the sacrifice." And you remember the rest of the story, how the ram was caught in the thicket and that, just as Abraham was going to kill his son. In the Passover, when they came out of Egypt, bondage in Egypt, we're given clear pictures exactly what is going to happen, where Jesus, what he was going to do. The Passover is a picture of Calvary's cross, exactly what would happen there. The lamb will be taken out 4 days before they killed it. Jesus went to Jerusalem before the crucifixion. He showed himself. Why? Because the lamb had to be examined to make certain that it was absolutely pure and clean, that it was perfect. Jesus himself went to Jerusalem and before all the people there, and they could examine him to see. He was fulfilling exactly the prophecies that would come. And all the way through, all through Leviticus, all the different things they had to do, the slaying and everything. And notice, by the way, when they did the Passover, I'm coming back to this, they were instructed they weren't to break a bone of it. Now then, let's push on now to what actually happened at the crucifixion. Now, if you know your Bibles, if you get hold of Psalm 22, and you read it, and you compare it with what actually happened, it's as though it was written by somebody who was actually standing at the cross and recording it. You've got clear details there. You might say, "Oh yes, well, it says when Jesus said, 'My God, why have you..." He could have copied that. But what about when the priests and that were coming in and they were laughing at him and making fun of him? You saved others, you can't save yourself. That's exactly what happened. And that was written 1,000 years before the crucifixion. Now, the actual description in Psalm 22 of the crucifixion is an amazing example of what crucifixion really was, the agony and such like. And that was written, remember, hundreds of years before crucifixion was invented. It was not invented, I think it was about 600 BC. And this was written 1000 BC. You've got all these extreme details all the way through. Again and again and again. Now, I am skimming very quickly through these just to give you some idea of how I came to believe that this book here is truly the Word of God. Prophecy is the most powerful weapon that we have in showing that this is the Word of God. Now, I know some people have said, "Look, these people, they spend all their time reading about prophecy and that. There's other things we can do. We should be getting out." But wait a minute. This is your weapon. This is what you're using. Now, if you turn to Acts, the book of Acts, you see, first of all, after Jesus ascended to heaven and after the Pentecost, Peter, first of all, explains what happened about Judas by looking at prophecy. And then in the very first gospel message that was ever preached, Peter stands up and gives a prophecy to explain. Joel's prophecy, he said. This is what we should expect, because what the prophecy in Joel. Joel was given hundreds and hundreds of years before, and it was fulfilled to the letter.